Well, thank you for tuning in. This is Steadfast Hope. I'm joined by, as always, Kent Steinbeck, and I'm Steve Lawson, coming to you from Herb's House in Dallas, Texas. So, we've got a great study, as always. I want you to take your Bible, be turning with me to Exodus, second book in the Bible. Exodus chapter 20, and today we're going to be looking at verse 3. So I want to begin by reading this. You're going to immediately recognize this verse. You may be thinking, Exodus, what's he getting ready to read? I mean, Kent said that just a few minutes ago. And I said, Kent, it's the Ten Commandments. This was Kent's response. He went, oh. So it's going to be a blessing for you, Kent, okay? Okay, all right, here it is. Verse 3, Exodus 20. You shall have no other gods before me. It's the first of the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments tell us many things. They tell us how we're supposed to live our Christian life. They're the standard by which we're measured, and we see that we fall short of the glory of God. But the Ten Commandments are also a self-revelation of God to us. In other words, we know what God is like as we look at these Ten Commandments. So I want to look at them from that perspective, and in this first of the Ten Commandments, we learn about the exclusivity of God, that there is only one true God, and any other God is a false God, is a non-existent God, that there's only one God who truly exists, and that is the God who is revealed in the Bible. So I want us to look at this. He begins by saying, you shall have no other gods before me. God is the speaker, God is the sovereign, and he is defining here who is to be worshipped. He is stating that he alone is to be worshipped. God is intolerant of any false gods or any false religions. God is intolerant with any rival gods. And when he spoke this to Moses, they had just come out of Egypt. And Egypt had all kinds of multiplicity of gods. And they're about to head into the promised land. And Cana and that land was just filled with all kinds of idols and false gods. And so God begins at this point by saying, you are to worship me only. You are not to tolerate any other worship of any other God, and it is incompatible with the exclusivity of God. Now, when he says, you shall have no other gods before me, literally it means over and against me. In other words, any other idol, any other false god by any other name, is really in opposition to the one true God. So, to put this in the positive, we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. The devotion of our heart is to be exclusively placed upon God, the one true living God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we are to love him with loyalty and allegiance. We are to love him as we worship him with our mind. We are to grow to know about him and are to grow to know him. We are to love him with our affections, that we would have a passion for God. We would have excitement for God. God despises lukewarmness towards him. He wants there to be a fiery zeal in our soul for him, for us to be enthusiastic about God. The word enthusiastic means in theos, in God. All true excitement at the pinnacle is to be in God. So when we come to worship God, we're not to be yawning in his face. We are to be excited to be in his presence. And then we're to love him with our will. And we are to choose to love him by making decisive choices that will obey him. So, Kent, this is coming back to basics here. When we talk about the Ten Commandments, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33. So this is where the Ten Commandments begin, that God alone is to be the supreme object of our affection, of our worship, and we are to be devoted to him alone. We cannot have a divided heart. So, Kent, let's talk about this, because this is what I need.
Yeah, it is me too. And I think my first question would be kind of what our viewers might be thinking is, okay, Steve, I do understand this. I get what you're saying, but what am I replacing God with when I am not worshiping God as I should, and God is not at the forefront? And maybe sometimes in my mind I think he is, but I have replaced him with other things. What naturally do we need to be careful of that we do replace him? Yeah. And we really end up, and he's not first.
Yeah, yeah. You know, interestingly enough, the last verse of 1 John 5, I think it's 21, says, little children, guard yourself from idols. Mm. And earlier he has said, do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is passing away. For the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is passing away. But he who does the will of my Father abides forever. And that's in 1 John 2:15-17. Mm-hmm. And so it's anything that we love more than God, anything that we serve more than God, anything that we fear more than God is an idol. That could be a job, it could be a house, it could be a hobby, it could be a spouse, it could be a child, it could be a grandchild, it could be any pursuit in life. It's anything that would come between you and God that you become more excited about that thing or that person. You become more drawn to that person than you are to God.
So you're saying maybe it's not something, quote, bad in and of itself.
Right, right.
Like your family.
Yeah, yeah.
You're saying that we could focus too much on our family
to the exclusion of focusing upon God. Mm-hmm. Now, let me be quick to say this, Kent. The more I love God, the more I will love my family. Mm-hmm. The more I love God, the more I love my wife and my children. And so it's a matter of priority that God must be number one. And we cannot allow something that's good even, such as family or children or wife, to come before my relationship with God. And so that's why we need to walk as close to God as possible, so that there's nothing or no one in between God and me. And if we take our eyes off of God, we become easily distracted with things that are around us, and they become competing loyalties. They become competing affections for my heart, and that's what idolatry is. There are idols in the heart, and I would say idols in the heart are far more dangerous than idols on a bookshelf or on an altar, because Christianity is a religion of the heart. Everything must begin with the heart, and so that's why I just quoted Deuteronomy 6:5. We must love the Lord our God with all of our heart.
So last question, maybe you can answer it quickly. How do we know, what are the alarms that we should look for when we realize that our Lord is not number one and we've slid, things have crept into our lives and taken a higher position than he is?
Yeah, I don't know why you said for a quick answer, Kent.
Oh, sorry. Okay, take all the time you want, Steve.
The leading indicator is when I'm not excited for God.
Well, that's good.
When I'm not, when I'm just being kind of apathetic, lukewarm.
Maybe we're out of the Word,
yeah,
not interested
mundane.
To get into the Word.
Yeah, I just go to church out of routine. Mm-hmm. I just read my Bible out of kind of rote, going through the motions. Mm-hmm. That is a sure sign. Something else is more is more exciting to me than God. I'm just mechanically going through this. Mm-hmm. We can know that we're on track when we can honestly say, I am more excited for God today than I've ever been in my life.
Wow, that's great.
I'm more excited for God today than I was yesterday, last week, last month. And I'm more excited for God than for my football team, than for my golf score, than for my dog, you know,
whatever.
Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah.
In your case, bears and big animals.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
right.
So thank you for joining us today. You shall have no other gods before you. I didn't say that. God said that. And so let that be true in our hearts today. God bless you. Thank you for joining us.